Hello and welcome to
Ghost Me,
a horror podcast. I'm Todd, joined by my wife Becca. Hi, Becca.
Hi.
Glad I could still make you smile with that. We watched Skinamarink from 2023,
right?
From 2022. This was directed by Kyle Edward Ball, who also directed Heck, which was the short that became Skinamarink. I think this was crowdfunded.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, which is cool.
Yeah.
And this movie, very divisive.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of conversation, and a lot of it falls on the side of this movie is fucking pretentious bullshit.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be totally honest. We tried to watch this before, like when it first hit streaming, and we got like 20 minutes into it and turned it off. And I think you were like pretty angry about it, but I think it's mostly because the like flashing televisions.
Yeah, it was more my neurodivergence that like yeah. stopped us from watching it because I could not handle the strobe lighting effect.
It was like giving you a migraine because we were trying to do the thing. They're like, oh yeah, turn all the lights down and get real cozy for this. And that just meant that the strobing lights were just like really intense.
Yeah.
So between that and the way it's been received, we kind of just put it on ice for a while. But we were like, you know what? Fuck it. Let's pick something for October that's going to be like more controversial. Because I do feel like there's been people online. It feels like there's like these black sheep here and there who are like, I liked Skinamarink. And it's like, okay, are you just being a fucking weirdo or is there something to this? Because it feels like very rare. I feel like everyone is pretty universally slamming this movie. But we're weirdos. We really like movies like Outwaters, which fucked us up. Like, I thought that was scary as shit. And then I go online and it's like getting all this hate everywhere from people who are like, what is this shit? You can't see anything. And surprise, bitches, I like this movie.
I know. I like this movie too.
Yeah. I think like it's funny because there is like a conversation which I think applies to certain movies like this where it's like, yeah, there is something about this movie that is pretentious as fuck. Like, I get it. I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing, though. Like, I don't have a problem being like, yeah, this is kind of pretentious and weird, and I fucking love it. Because I do think this movie, it plays in this certain groove that it's like, if you can't get into that groove with the movie, you're going to hate it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can find your way into that, like, there is a lot to this movie. Like, in one sense, the movie winds up feeling kind of like an art piece. You know, it's definitely, I mean, this is like, I'm not saying anything groundbreaking here. It's not a movie with a like traditional linear story or anything. It is a movie that is much more open to interpretation. And I think that's one of the things it does really well. Cause I think part of media literacy, which we are missing a lot of nowadays, is that when you have something like this, that is in some ways like an empty vessel, it is okay to, you know, work with it, like actively watch it and try and form your own interpretations. And don't be worried about what is the intended interpretation. You know, what is it supposed to be about? It's like, no, whatever you think it's about is valid. You know, that's part of interpreting art. And it's something that when I was younger, I thought was fucking bullshit. But now that I'm older, it's like, okay, I get it. You know, because I remember going to art school and when they were teaching us how to like analyze paintings and photographs, I was like, what the fuck? It's just a painting of some flowers. Like, what the fuck are you talking about? I thought it was so stupid and pretentious. But it's like, I get it now. You know, it's okay to feel things about artwork and use that as the basis of your understanding of it. You're the big artist. How do you feel about that?
I mean, at the end of the day, film is art. Art is subjective. Like,
yes.
People will always put different interpretations into any sort of art representation that there is. Like, that's just how art works. So,
yeah. And I think, you know, we're not going to spoil it here. We'll get way more into our interpretations when we talk spoilers. But I can say, you know, the big obvious thing people talk about is this is really playing with nostalgia. This is another, like, nostalgia core horror movie. Where it's like, yeah, if you remember like growing up in the 90s in front of a CRT television, sitting in the dark, you know, with just lit only by the TV. Like, I remember that very well. Mm-hmm. And it did make me, I had this realization watching it that we both wound up talking about, that I was very alone during my childhood. which is another thing that feels like a universal 90s kid experience, that there's so much of my childhood where I was just in the basement watching TV or playing video games by myself while my dad was at work and my mom was upstairs watching soap operas and talking to her sisters, not to like throw my mom under the bus or anything. Like I think a lot of moms were doing that during the 90s.
Yeah. My mom was, yeah, she's definitely on the phone talking with her girlfriends. Yeah. You know? Yeah.
But it's crazy to think about now because I feel like that has changed a lot. I think parents are much more actively involved in their kids' lives. Mostly that's a good thing. There are definitely ways that it's a bad thing. The way that it's starting to, we don't need to get into that shit.
No.
But this plays on that, and it hit for me. Definitely brought up a lot of feelings and memories and stuff, and I don't know. I'm definitely at that fucking age where I'm getting to be old as shit. Nostalgia is hitting me harder. I think it's called a midlife crisis.
No. I think you're too young for that.
You are so sweet. You're so sweet. But I was surprised because I think hearing people talk about it, they made it seem like there was like zero dialogue and it was like completely an art piece. And it's like, I was surprised how much story is in this movie. Mm-hmm. Like there is a lot of story going on. It's very slow and very moody, but it's definitely telling a story. And I think that the story it tells, if you can like, again, so like, I don't even know if my interpretation is right. I'm going to open up the next part with, I want to hear what your interpretation is. But the way that I interpreted it was scary as shit. Yeah. Like, I thought the movie was, it's like I said, if you can get into the right groove, it is very scary. And the way that it displays the environment, his style of cinematography is definitely, it's something unique. And he plays a lot.
Stylistic.
Yes. Yeah. And he plays a lot with light and dark. And it's like, there's something so distinct about, because the story that you get, I know that the tagline that I'd heard before this is that you have these kids who wake up in this house, their own house, and there's no doors or windows anywhere. And that's kind of all you get. Mm-hmm. I think that might be part of what worked against the movie, because I think most people, when they hear that, they're like, oh shit, what's that about? Like, that sounds really creepy. But it winds up being more of like a mood piece around that. And I think if you can get into that, there is something like very unsettling about that, and the way that it plays with light and dark, the way over the course of the movie it just kind of gets darker and darker, and it plays a lot with like staring into the darkness, and there's a weird fucking filter on everything, so it looks like stuff's moving. It kind of does the thing where when your eyes are adjusting to the dark and it looks like there's stuff moving around, it captures that really well. Maybe that's another thing that's from the 90s, that now with like LED lights and shit, everything's like so much brighter now. You know what I mean?
I don't know, maybe.
I think the world in general is more brightly lit than it was back then. But I don't know, what are your thoughts before we get into spoilers?
I don't know if I can say what I thought of the movie without it being possibly a spoiler. Like, I don't know. And that's always where I'm caught up.
I know.
You know, I guess if I had to generally say, the movie surprised me watching it this time around, then obviously we had to make some lighting adjustments so that I could properly watch the movie without a migraine. But once I got there, I was like totally into it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I very much love the aesthetics and the style of this movie. I think it's fresh. I think it's any other type of style or composition would probably not have favored this movie. I think it kind of worked perfectly.
Yeah. It makes me kind of sad because I can only imagine the way the director feels, like hearing so much negativity around it, because I don't think it warrants all of that. Like, if it didn't work for you, it didn't work for you. But people get like angry when it comes to some movies like this, where it's like, if they don't understand it, they just get fucking pissed. And I never understand that attitude. It's just weird. But I don't know. I don't think there's much else we could say without just getting into spoilers and just talking about our own interpretations of the story. You want to do that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I know early in the movie, I said something to you about like, hey, I think I heard it's about such and such, which might have like colored how you saw the movie. Because I think when I said that, you almost had like a panic attack.
Yeah, I kind of like went into like an existential crisis.
Yeah. So what was your overall like interpretation of the movie?
I think in general, the purgatory aspect really stood out.
Yeah.
But also the feelings of like existential dread and like almost like a realistic depiction of a nightmare.
Oh yeah, totally.
Like a lot of that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think like this is partly based on what I read before watching it, but also from what I was picking up from watching the movie. There is like this weird, the movie is very dreamlike. Like that is definitely a big part of it. But there was something early on that seemed to reference that maybe this kid fell down the stairs, and it's possible that this movie is taking place in his mind when he's like in this kind of coma state and basically dying, which already is incredibly dark.
Yeah.
But I think when you view it through that lens, it does feel like it is very accurately capturing what it was like when you were a kid and when you were dreaming, mm-hmm. and the way that like that certain style of surrealness, you know, the way that certain details were like coming and going, like the doors and the windows and even like light switches would like just randomly disappear, mm-hmm. which also fed into how scary it was when like the lights were starting to slowly turn off and it was closing in, which also can be interpreted as their brain shutting down, mm-hmm. you know, the way that it affected memory, because there was another kid there with them. And at some point, like their face was gone.
Yeah.
And there was also the part with all the photographs that were missing, like their heads and their faces.
Mm-hmm.
It just, to me, it read like their memories, like those parts of their brain were kind of shutting down. And even like the TV when it was repeating weird stuff, that whole like trajectory over the course of the movie worked really well for me and was like very creepy. It's like you're getting stuffed down into a hole and everything is slowly shutting off. It was pretty scary.
Yeah.
But that wound up making it feel like a child version of hell.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Which is like, it's already such a dark concept. And there is a point like later on when there is this kind of malignant figure that comes in and starts talking to him and making like, there's all these strange noises. There's a lot of like, I mentioned this in the non-spoiler section, how like sometimes you're looking in the dark and you can almost see shapes and like stuff is moving, which I definitely remember as a child sitting in a dark room, like that's how it felt. You know, it felt like I could see things moving in the dark. And the part that stood out to me the most is when he's like in his parents' bedroom. I guess it's his mom sitting on the edge of the bed, you remember? Mm-hmm. And she's just sitting there still and like talking to him. But the way that the darkness was moving, it almost looked like she was moving, but you couldn't tell. Like that unlocks such a specific memory of, you know, staring at people in the dark as a child. And I don't know, it's like it just plays tricks on you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how else to put it. And yeah, when this figure comes out and starts messing with him, I mean, there's some things that are straight up like it seems like it's attacking him and he's reliving this over and over, because there is like blood and stuff.
Yeah.
It definitely plays on some really disturbing imagery,
mm-hmm.
especially in the context of it being a child going mm-hmm. through this. And it made it feel like, yeah, he's being tormented by this demonic figure. And that, I think, is the concept that I settled in on that made it so terrifying, is that as they were kind of in this purgatory, they were being tormented by something evil, like some other entity. And of course, it all culminates in the end, that fucking face that was super creepy. After all those moments of the pure darkness and you're trying to see something, to see that face, that like indistinct face telling him to go to sleep, very creepy.
Yeah.
And it had a surprising number of jump scares, too,
yeah.
which I also wasn't expecting.
Yeah, I will say, I think I've seen, like, memes and stuff of the Skinamarink telephone.
Yeah.
And they have that little Fisher-Price.
Yeah, fuck that thing.
Yeah, I did not expect that to actually scare me like it
the
did.
The Fisher-Price jump scare was pretty fucked up.
Yeah.
I can't believe they did that to me.
It's pretty cursed.
Yes. But yeah, I mean, like, that's the thing is overall, it's like I said, I think people should be more open to, like, you can't always just sit back and be like, all right, movie, thrill me, tell me a story. Like, sometimes you have to kind of engage with it yourself mm-hmm. and try and interpret it yourself. And I've been in positions where I've watched movies and I'll end it and be like, I have no fucking clue what just happened. And I have to, like, look it up.
Like Arcadian.
Let's not talk about that. Right, that's different. Bleep it. That's okay. But I do think there's a certain type of person that just makes them angry. And I can't relate with that. Like, sometimes it's okay if you don't understand something. You don't have to get frustrated by it, you know?
It's funny you keep saying that, but I definitely was angry with this movie. first watched it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's obviously not because of the story, but because of the flashing lights. Yeah. But yeah. I was worried. I was worried that I was never gonna be able to watch a movie because of the, like, I have a light sensitivity, so it's hard with those types of things.
We made it through. I gave you the remote for the lights just in case, and you never had to use it, so that's good.
I think I used it once.
Oh really?
Just like turned up the lights a little bit.
It is one of those things where sometimes it's like, all right guys, do we have to do this with the flashing lights? Like,
yeah.
We didn't need to do that.
I do see it aesthetically, like what they were doing with the lights. Like, I appreciate it, but it is hard on my brain.
I know. That's okay. But yeah, I don't know. I think that's all I really got. Do you have anything else about it?
No.
Surprisingly good. I liked it.
Yeah.
I'll stand by it.
I do like it.
I'm okay being the weirdo that likes this and Outwaters and shit.
Yeah, I do feel like there's like this special space of people who like this movie where you assume like, okay, well, you're just a pretentious piece of shit. Okay. But
fuck,
I mean,
it, I'll take it.
It's hard to not acknowledge like the artistry that was going into it. So, yeah. I mean, am I a pretentious piece of shit? Maybe. I don't know. But
I'm a pretentious piece of shit. I'll take it. I don't give a fuck.
I really appreciate all of the composition and the risks with the style and the sound design. And I can appreciate when somebody takes a risk, and I feel like they pulled it off.
Yeah, I think it's more that I think that there's this idea from some people that's like, oh, if you like something like this, you're just trying to like portray a certain image or something. And it's like, no, I don't have a problem looking dumb as fuck. Like, I'm definitely not a smart person. But I am, when I watch stuff, I am very open to liking things. Everything I watch, I want to like it. I want to understand it and meet it on its level. And sometimes I can, sometimes I can't. But I, for whatever reason, this one did work for me, and I liked it. And I'm glad that I liked it, because I'd rather like things than not like things.
Yeah.
But I don't have anything else. What about you?
No.
Okay. You can go to GhostBeast.com for all their links. You can also search for GhostBeast Pod and follow GhostBeast on Letterboxd, where we rank everything we cover. And I'm going to have to slip in somewhere. We're also on TikTok and YouTube, and there is video. Not video of us.
No.
But there is a video component.
Not yet. Maybe. I don't know.
Who cares?
We're not.
No. We're fine with having your great graphic designs on there. Let's rank it. Here's an idea. How about below, as above, so below, and above The First Omen?
Okay.
That puts it at number 32 on our list. I need you to take these rankings more seriously.
What do you need me to do?
These are life or death, and you sound very casual about it. So it is definitively at number 32 on our list.
No, it's not.
Permanently, forever. Should have thought about that. So you can contact us at...
Do you want me to argue with you?
So you can contact us at podcast@ghostbeast.com. Yeah, I don't really want to know what you felt about this movie. Are there any movies that are very divisive that worked for you for some reason? That's interesting.
Any other art house films? I mean, is this
pretentious art house films? Yes. Bye.